Elder David was reading this morning, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 5, which talks about the Gentiles not knowing Yahweh. And that is the substance of my talk this morning, called, I Never Knew You, Depart From Me. So what does it mean to know something or to know someone? This is the topic for today. Taken from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, which says, Not everyone who says to me, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There it is. Sermon's over. I mean, this is it. This is, in essence, how to be eligible, to be chosen to be in the kingdom. It's to do the will of our Heavenly Father, Almighty Yahweh. But let's read on anyway, even though we've got the main message of this message. Verse 22, Many will say to me in that day, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And what law do you suppose he's talking about? Well, he's talking about the law given to Moses by the hand of Yahshua in the name of Yahweh. The Ten Commandments, if you will. Plus everything else that's written in Scripture is for our edification and for our knowledge and our wisdom so that we might know Yahweh and Yahshua. And as we do them, they might know us. One of the Hebrew words translated as the verb to know is yada. It is a primitive root, which means that it forms the basis for many different words. Properly, or in its most common usage, the word yada means to ascertain by seeing, and is used in a great variety of ways. Literally, as in, I know how to find the square root of 81. Figuratively, as in, I bought a new car and it's a lemon. It's not really a lemon, but, you know, it's a figurative. And euphemistically, which describes a word or phrase used in place of a term that might be considered too direct, too harsh, too unpleasant, offensive, or inferential. It might infer something that would suggest the true meaning of. It would be similar to the phrase, and this is an example from Scripture, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. That is a euphemistic use of the word knew. So interestingly, speaking of euphemism, the books of Esther and the book of Song of Songs do not contain the name of Yahweh. They are, I should say, yet they are euphemistically books about Yahweh and his plan of salvation. The definition of the word yada includes the following, and I want you to hold in mind Yahshua's words, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, as I read them to you. I want you to replace the word knew in that phrase, I never knew you, with these definitions. Think in that, in those terms. To know means to observe. Hence, Yahshua could be said to be saying, he's telling us, I never observed you honoring me. To care. I never cared for your way, your ways. To recognize. I never recognized you at the appointed times I set to meet with you. Okay? These are all ideas about the word to know. When Yahshua said, I never knew you. And going on, To instruct is another word for that yada means. I never instructed you because you wouldn't hear me. To designate. I never designated you to have authority with me. And to punish. I never punished you because I did not recognize you as my own. And as we know, discipline is something that Yahshua extends to us to bring us back in line because we're his children. If we're not his children, then he doesn't discipline us. He doesn't correct us. He lets go of us to do our own wickedness. In the King James Version, Yada is translated as acknowledge, acquaintance, or to be acquainted with, to advise, to answer, to appoint. It means assuredly, be aware, certainly, comprehend, consider, cunning, declare, be diligent, discern, discover. Endued with, familiar friend, famous, feel, can have, instruct. It means kinsfolk. The word yada means kinsman, or to make known, to have knowledge, to make oneself known, to be learned, mark, perceive, privy to, regard. To have respect, to be sure, to teach, and to have understanding. So when Yahshua says, I never knew you, all of these ideas apply. You're not a friend to me. You're not part of my, you're not a kinsman to me. You don't have knowledge. I don't consider you. I don't understand you, is what he's saying to us. So can you see that knowing someone includes all of these aspects of a close, deep, and intimate relationship? The kind of relationship Yahshua is seeking with us. To know someone is to frequently be in touch with that individual. In touch. How close and familiar with someone do you have to be to touch them? What does the phrase, how touching, mean? Or how about, your words really touched me? Do you see how in this intimate relationship that emotions are at the heart of intimacy? It is in our closest knowing relationships that we develop a sense of worth, a feeling of security and safety, a sense of innocence, courage, hope, and empowerment. And I ask you, are these not what Yahshua wants for us? Does he want us to have a sense of worth in our lives, in our connection with him? Does he want us to feel empowered to do his work, the work that he's given to us to do? Do you think he wants that? Does he want us to be connected with one another? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 40, we read, and when they had called for the apostles, these are the Pharisees bringing them to, quote, justice. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Yahshua and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing after being beaten? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Yahshua the Messiah. The apostles rejoiced after being beaten. How strong was their knowledge of Yahshua? They considered themselves worthy, having suffered as the Messiah did. How powerful was their desire to imitate Messiah and to speak the truth and in that truth be punished. How intimately did they know Yahshua? They knew him enough to teach about him with their words and through their actions. It is a powerful thing to understand Yahweh's plan of salvation, which, incidentally, is not solely reserved for righteous people. Ironically, the first use of the word Yada in Scripture is found in a quote by the serpent Satan. In Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for Elohim knows,'" that's the word Yada, Yod Dalet Ayin, "that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like Elohim, knowing," and that word there is Yadai, spelled Yod Dalet Ayin Yod, "knowing good and evil." Yada, which is spelled Yod Dalet Ayin, phonetically, the ancient Hebrew, which is the symbolic pictographs, picture a hand, a door, and an eye. So pictographically, the word Yada means hand, door, and eye. I couldn't find the actual pictographs individually to put up on the screen here, but you get the idea. It is the hand on the door that opens up to insight. It means to grasp understanding. The hand to the door, to the eye, to grasp understanding. And understanding man's weakness, i.e. pride, Satan tempted Eve and Adam with the evolutionary idea that they could become something that they are not, like a weed becoming an apple tree. This was the lie, that they could elevate themselves to the status of a deity in defiance of Yahweh's creationary power. There is abundant evidence in this world today that Satan has tempted many with the idea of becoming mighty men or women who are adored or feared, that is, worshipped by others. Yahshua begot his son. Yahweh begot his son, Yahshua. As it says in John 13, 16, and 17, "For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Actually, it's only verse 16, not including 17. And Yahweh begot the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy 9, beginning at verse 22. Also at Taberah and Massah and Kibrot Hatavah, "You provoked Yahweh to wrath. Likewise, when Yahweh sent you to from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I have given to you,' then you rebelled against the commandment of Yahweh your Elohim, and you did not believe him nor obey his voice. You have been rebellious against Yahweh from the day that I knew you." Okay? From the day that I knew you. From what we have learned about the word "knew," can you see, can you ascertain, acknowledge, and perceive that Yahweh begot his children and that we are his special treasure? In Exodus 19, beginning at verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Titus 2, beginning at verse 11. "For the grace of Yahweh that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying unholiness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and holy in the present age. Now, consider this, that Paul is speaking to us in writing to Titus. When he says the present age, he is saying that we need to obey Yahweh and his instructions to us now. It's never passed. It's never been taken away. The law of Yahweh is alive and living well in the hearts of those who worship him. Back to Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope, pretty strong emotion, and glorious appearing of our great mighty one and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for what? A good heart? Zealous for good works. Lawlessness is the key factor justifying Yahshua telling us to depart when we approach the gates of Yahweh's kingdom. And let's revisit Matthew 7, beginning at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Luke reiterates this message of Yahshua in Luke 13, beginning at verse 23. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Master, open for us. He will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of Yahweh and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of Yahweh. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. When I say to you, let us do the will of Yahweh by keeping and performing his commandments, by refraining from those things that are abominable in his sight. Let us get to know Yahshua through frequent and meaningful dialogue with him. And may it be that he will indeed know us through our faithful prayers, confessions, requests, studies, and meditations, so that he will raise us up in the first resurrection. May we be first fruits in the kingdom of Yahweh.